But we're joined now by a former Newcastle player whose name is still sung at St James's Park. Let's bring you that song now.
Any O'Brien.
Liam is one of those O'Briens. His book, Past Master, Football Fergie, Big Jack, King Kev, and My Life in the Beautiful and Sometimes Brutal Game is out now. Good afternoon, Liam.
Good afternoon, lads. How are we?
Good. Well, what a buzz that must be. All these years on, that they're still singing your Andy O'Brien, wasn't it? The other O'Brien singing your song.
Yeah, Andy O'Brien. He's no relation, by the way. But yeah, it's great that the fans are still singing that song 33 years later. I remember scoring the goal on the day, and I remember a couple of friends saying to me, "You don't realise what you've done." I said, "Yeah, I just scored the winner against Sunderland in the derby. Brilliant." And they said to me, "No, you'll never be forgotten." And sure enough, they're still singing that song 33 years later. So it's great for myself.
I was watching it back. It's the importance of, they'd not won at Roker Park since the mid-50s, had they? So, and you scored. They were wearing, you wearing yellow, the away kit, and you put a sort of Zico-like free kick in. So it's quite a fabled goal for Newcastle fans, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Like any win in any derby, because what the fans really want is the bragging rights after one of those games, and to score in yellow and then to be kind of mentioned in the same breath as Zico, which is unbelievable. But it was very nice that the manager did say that day.
Yeah, it's good to have the derby back, isn't it? It's going to be lively. And Sunderland have made a pretty decent start, haven't they?
They have made a good start. Yeah, defensively they've been very good. You know yourself, derby games. Hopefully Newcastle can beat them when it does happen. And I think it's in December, so we'll be looking forward to it. But it's great for the region that the derby games are back, because there's nothing like a good. Yeah. Good derby game, as I say.
You were signed by Ron Atkinson for Manchester United, and then he got the sack. We see that all the time, don't we? See it lately. You know, it is quite an odd thing for a player, isn't it, to be signed by a manager and then he's gone.
And you've just got to hope that the next guy, in this case, Alex Ferguson, he was then, likes you as well.
Yeah, that's true. I was Ron Atkinson's last sign, and I did have a joke with the player saying I must have got him sacked because you're good on your signings. But no, I was one for the future, really. But when Alex Ferguson came in a month later, it was, you know, he had that aura about him that he was going to change things. And it took a while, but eventually it did happen. But he gave me my debut 6 weeks after he came to the club, so it was great for myself.
You do hold a Manchester United record. I think it still stands, Liam, doesn't it? Fastest sending off. I would imagine now that it's maybe the sort of challenge that probably wouldn't even got you a yellow card. I went on YouTube to look for it, but I couldn't find it. Maybe you've had it wiped from the records.
Yeah, it's not one of the records that I'm very proud of, I must say, but... Yeah, it was, I think it was 85 seconds. It was kind of one of the first games shown live on TV in Ireland. So my parents were watching it, and the scene of getting dismissed after 85 seconds wasn't very, very good. But I don't think the referee obviously makes the decisions, and I don't think the decision was a good decision, to be honest. I think it would have been a yellow.
Okay. Time, yeah, you can
still dispute.
Times have changed, haven't they? Really. You were part of the Ireland squad at Euro 88. You worked under Big Jack. I mean, it was an interesting time as an Irishman. There was a little bit of heat about some of the recruitment that Jack did to build that squad. I mean, what was the feeling from the Irish boys in the squad at the time?
Oh, the feeling was grand. I mean, they were entitled to play for the country through the grandparent rule. So Jack kind of said, okay, they'll do it for me. We got some good players in. We got into the European Championships, as you say. We won quite well there, beat England and drew at Russia, and unfortunately got beaten by Holland in the last game. It was only eight teams then in the tournament, so it was unfortunate, but it was a great time for the country. It needed a bit of a lift the way things were going in Ireland at the time with the economically and stuff. But yeah, it was good. Everybody enjoyed that kind of time under Jack from 1988 and 1990 and 94. So the country was buzzing.
Yeah. And you talk a lot in the book about your time at Newcastle and your love for the club and working with Kevin Keegan as well, which was an experience.
Yeah, when I was there, we went through some obviously good and bad times. We got relegated in the fourth season. I was there, unfortunately, and then Jim Smith came in, and there was financial problems at the club, especially under Ozzie Ardiles as well. He couldn't sign the players that he wanted, and he had to kind of rely on the youth and a lot of the young players that were playing there at the time, the likes of Steve Howie and Lee Clark and Steve Watson, Alan Thompson, went on to be great players, but they were a little bit inexperienced at the time. And obviously couldn't get the players in. And then when Kevin Keegan came in, we were struggling for to stay in the division, the old second division. And he came in and turned things around. We stayed up that year. And then the following year, he said, "This will never happen again. This club is too big. The fans don't deserve it." And we just kicked on, and we had a great season the next season and got promoted to the Premier League. So, I mean, he turned things around. He was very charismatic, a great personality, full of enthusiasm, and the players loved playing under him.
The club you spent most time at, or played the most games for, was Tranmere Rovers. So I always think of you as Newcastle, and it says that you had a heartbreak of missing out on a Wembley appearance.
That's right, yeah. You got was that the League Cup, wasn't it? Semi-final. Villa?
Yeah,
Villa?
it was against Aston Villa. We were 3-0 up, funny enough, at Prenton Park, and they got a late equaliser from Dalian Atkinson. And then we went to Villa Park, and obviously they're going to be different. They threw everything at us, and we scored a penalty. They got back to 3-3. We got a penalty through John Aldridge, make it 4-3, and then they scored with about 2 minutes to go, and it went to extra time and then penalties. And it came. I took the actual sixth penalty. I went up to score to get us to Wembley, and unfortunately, Mark Bosnich saved it that day. So I was a little bit disappointed with that, but. Yeah, very disappointed to be honest with you that I didn't get up to Wembley.
Yeah.
But that's how it goes.
Do you get over much for games? You to get up to Newcastle when you can, Liam?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I go over to maybe a couple of times a season. My two lads are big Newcastle fans, so
Oh,
they
brilliant.
go over maybe 3 or 4 times a year, and they obviously watch the games here every week when they're on. So they are big Newcastle fans. I'm still doing my best over here to convert some of the Irish lads to support Newcastle when they're not supporting the League of Ireland here.
Yeah, I mean, talking of which, you managed and coached and played in League of Ireland, and we've seen some young players coming over. The latest of them, Mason Melia from St. Pat's, who's gone over to Spurs. There seems to be some good young talent coming out of the league.
Yeah, there is. And as you just mentioned, Mason Melia, he's a great prospect for the future, and hopefully he can keep improving and developing as a player. There is some other good players in our league here in Ireland that are doing really well. The league has improved immensely with facilities and the grounds and stuff. So it'll be only a matter of time before other players follow Mason's footsteps across the water there.
Absolutely.
When you're growing up in Ireland, is there a sort of pressure to play the GAA games, or was it fine playing football?
They'd always want you, especially in the schools. In my time in the 70s, it was just Gaelic and hurling then. But obviously on the weekends, there was a lot of schoolboy games. Actually, I think the soccer is played more than it is Gaelic and hurling in this country. But there wasn't really much pressure. You'd play Gaelic on the Saturday and you'd play your soccer on the Sunday. So you're always active.
Yeah. Well, look, it's good to talk to you, Liam. We wish you all the very best with the book. And I'm sure if the listeners didn't know why they were singing that song, they'll think of you next time they hear the Newcastle fans singing it. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much indeed, guys. Thanks very much.
Liam O'Brien, Passmaster is the book. Football Fergie, Big Jack, King Kev, and My Life in the Beautiful and Sometimes Brutal Game is published by Pitch and is out now. And we'll bring you Newcastle in action this evening against Benfica.